You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down, yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's intense.
It's Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
Podcast.
No topics, no directions, but I love doing it.
On riotcast.com.
Yes, that's right. We're here in the Riotcast Studios above the Comedy Cellar with a new fucking production piece by Troy Kwan himself. You know, from O&A. This guy's not fucking around. We got the new, what did you think about that?
Dude, that was, I'm not going to lie to you, that got me really amped up. That was some intense shit, dude.
That's the man right there, Troy. He is,
awesome.
He does a lot of production for O&A. He does all the production and for a bunch of other shows. And he came to me, he was like, dude, let me hook you up with some stuff. And I was like, please. He's amazing.
That was awesome.
I got this one, a few other ones. We got some new pieces for the beginning of this production pieces, they call it in the business. Yeah, so unbelievable. We are here at the Riotcast Studios above the Comedy Cellar. I am here with a friend of mine now, I would say, Paul Verzi.
Yes,
and
man.
We're doing a special one-on-one Thursday podcast. I put these out every once in a while. You know, it's... I do these, you know, we do the big show.
Yeah, sure.
On Tuesdays, usually, with everybody, you know, you and Dan, whoever the fuck. It's literally just hanging out. Yeah. Just a bunch of fucking whoever. I overbook it. People talk over each other.
Yeah.
Some people get annoyed, you know.
Well, that's what we're just saying. I'm looking around and I'm just seeing all these microphones. Like, you could have like almost 10 guys in here, man.
I've created a literal radio studio.
Yes.
In the owner of the Comedy Cellar's old apartment.
Yes, you have.
Here's the thing. I used to do YKWD out of my house at my kitchen table.
Right.
I had this nice big kitchen table. I had the microphones. That's why these mics, they're super clamps. They're called super clamps, and they're the flex arm on it was made to hold lights for movies and photo shoots. I created this with an adapter and this thing and that, and the guy at B&H, I wanted to hold a microphone, and I, you know, me, I'm fucking.
Oh yeah.
I created these flexible microphone clamps that you can clamp onto the side of a fucking bus, and do a podcast. So
you can hang off a fucking mountain.
Yeah, they're
just
fucking
holding on.
Yeah, they're fucking great. It's my invention. I invented this. So fuck everybody. So I used to do this with my Zoom H4n, we used to sit at my kitchen table, but then it got too big and, you know, the network was getting bigger. And, you know, I when I joined the network, me and Rob Sprance, the guy who made this guitar, the Riotcast guitar.
That's awesome.
But anyways, yeah, I talked to Noam one day and, you know, Noam is, that's why I love Noam. The Condor is in the building. He's actually not in the building, but he is a very creative guy. He loves creativity, whether it be music or comedy or acting or writing, whatever it is. He loves. So when I told him, I wanted a place. I was going to go to the Stand. I was going to maybe, I don't know where I was going to wind up. He was like, well, I got this space. I go, can I use the Comedy Cellar during the day because nobody's here? I was just going to go downstairs. And what sucks about a podcast my size, because I have so many people on, is setting up and tearing it down. So I had these bags.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd have Kelly and whoever set it up and tear it down. Yeah. And that's how Kelly got on the show. I needed somebody to come to my house and set this fucking thing up because I was getting sick of doing it.
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, I don't go to this, my old apartment. I have the space. I use it once a year for New Year's. And I was like, and I came up here and it was it was smaller than what we have now. But I just slowly, he is fine. I just slowly added I this table that everybody signed. You know, the guy, Tony here. I was like, I need a table and I need a sod out in the middle because I want to put headphone thing. And
oh, that was your doing, that middle thing?
Everything in this studio is my doing. I went and bought that fridge. I bought everything. Noam bought all this stuff. Like, I have a replica studio. All this stuff is, he just went to B&H, and Noam fucking purchased it for the Riotcast studio to make this up here. And then we got all these, you know, these banners and the lights, and I bought the, you know, everything. Every fucking couple months, the fans donate money to the show. I take that money, and I just went and bought this light and those other lights up there, and we're going to have this spinning YKWD logo on one.
Every time I come here, something different. Now I see cameras.
Yeah, we just got fucking. Those are from the fans, man. We, you know, we took some of the money from the riot, because me and Rob, you know, kind of run the station, and we took some cash out, and we're gonna have live Ustream.
That's awesome.
So you'll be able to see what the fuck goes on, and watch the show and listen to it. Which I think with a big show like mine. I think that's interesting, you know, but this would be interesting too, just me and you. I it's not ready yet. I can't figure it out. I just fucked it up. And Rob's, I can't call Sprance to jump on the computer. He can do it, you know, from wherever he is. He set it up that way from his iPad. He can fix everything, but I fucked up. But looking at the, I'm looking at the sound waves right now, and I've been talking for 6 minutes straight, and you've said yes four times. That's what. Fucking awful host I am. So anyways, Verz, you came down. I wanted to do a show with you.
Yeah.
I love doing these one-on-ones. Because it's not the regular show.
Yeah.
This is just... and people love these. It's a Thursday show, and it's... The people that can't stand the talking over and the screaming and the laughter... They like these one-on-ones. I do too, though.
Yeah, well, I actually had a couple of your listeners, because, you know, they were like... I guess some of them listened to my podcast, The Verzi Effect, but they were like, hey, man, when are you going to be on... When are you going to be on Bobby's show again? You know, so it's cool that I can...
Right.
Because I'm not one of the regulars that's always here.
Well, you would be, but you can't be.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I would have you on whenever you wanted, but...
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's tough, and you know where I'm driving from and stuff, so it's cool to be on here, man.
I'm going to be fucking driving from.
Yeah.
Not that far, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. You hate that, don't you?
You know what? I got to tell you something. I was standing in front of the cellar waiting for you. I got my shawarma, and I was standing, and I was just looking at the hustle and bustle, and I looked around, and I was like, you know something? You could fucking have this every day of the week. Fuck this place, man.
Really?
You know? We get the feeling, you know?
Yeah, dude, look, you know what? I'm sitting there with my kid today, right? We took a walk 3 blocks from, you know, where I live to this little park.
Right.
And, you know, not only do I have people behind me impatient because I have a baby carriage, you can just feel this fucking short-haired middle-aged cunt huffing and puffing because she's got a dinner date at some Thai restaurant.
Yeah. That's so true. It's exactly right.
I'm just like, fuck. And I when that happens... If people are behind me and they're keeping my pace, which annoys me too, you either walk in front of me or you stay the fuck way behind me. Don't keep my pace right up my asshole.
That's the worst.
You two talking broads. Because I don't want to hear your fucking, your little stories.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear what happened last night.
Yeah, why Roger didn't call back. Fuck you.
Roger. Exactly. You know the twat dates of Roger. So I was just fucking annoyed. It's a 2 blocks, 2.5 blocks, and it's like someone behind me, and then I got this fucking homeless guy with fucking, you know, shit knuckles. I got to worry about him, and then, you know, there's cars, and then we get across the street, and the fucking, and then we get to the park, and I'm sitting there, and around fucking 50 guys in red dresses just start running, jumping over stuff. And I get up, and I'm like, get the fuck away from my baby.
Oh,
stay
my
the
God.
Fuck away from the carriage. And I'm literally directing these like fucking gazelles.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck, because they can't see. They're just doing whatever fraternity fucking shit, stupid traditional red dress run with what white people do.
Oh, my God.
Fucking corny white fucks.
Oh, I don't miss that. Think about what you just said. You just said 50... men in red dresses running at you. That's like a bad dream.
I don't mind that. I've had that fantasy, actually. It's like, you know, it's like, it's like being in the Serengeti with fucking queers. But it was fucking crazy.
You want to bring that little boy away from that shit, is what you're...
I want to... Look, I love that happens. I love that people express themselves.
Sure.
I love that about. I want my kid to exposed to all that shit, dudes and dresses and fucking crazy shit. I want them, you know, because I feel like if you keep your kid away from it, when they finally are exposed to it, they go nuts.
Right.
They're like, oh my God, what the fuck is. It's like, I didn't know, like, porn peep shows. Yeah. I didn't know what fucking peep shows were. I came to New York City. I fucking went nuts for like a year and a half just jerking off on fucking floors all over New York City. It was like an addiction. I got so bad, I didn't care who saw me going in or out. I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I would just go in and crank it and fucking flick it on the ground, wipe my fucking hand on my jeans.
No, it's so true. When I was, you know, young, like, you know, mid-teens, and you come to New York City and you read peep, 50 cents, and I went in, and I never forget, they had one of that sliding,
yes,
that sliding metal door, and this black chick came out.
Oh, this is fucking, hang on, this is Billy Burr. Should I answer it?
Maybe long, but.
Hang on. See, hey, Bill.
Bobby Kelly joins the Beach Boys.
Tell him I'm here.
Dude, where you're at? Listen, I'm recording a podcast with Paul Verzi, me and him right now.
What's up, Bill?
I don't give a shit. What's going on?
What's up, dude? That's so funny you called.
I was gonna do the whole song.
Go ahead. I don't think you got it in you.
Nah, I had the whole thing worked out. Well, it's already screwed once you pick it up. I mean, I leave him on your answering machine.
He really does leave the best. The only reason why I never want to get a new iPhone, honest to God, one of the reasons that makes me not want to get a new iPhone when it comes out is Billy Burr's messages that I don't know how to transfer them over to my new phone.
That's so
funny. He leaves the best. Dad, what are you doing?
Bob, I called up to give you shit, but call me back when you're done with your radio show.
Okay, buddy. Will you give me shit about what, though?
Huh?
Just random shit?
You fucking call me back.
Fuck. All right, buddy. I'll call you in a little bit for whatever this is going to be. I'll talk to you later.
All right, go fuck yourself. Take it easy, Verzi.
Later, brother.
Fucking Burr. You know, he's the one who started the dude.
He started dude?
Yeah, like Norton picked it up. I mean, you know what, dude? That's where the name of the show came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Norton. But Billy's the fucking, when we used to live together, he used to sit there and go, dude, you know, dude.
Oh, that's funny.
You got this new thing, dude. It helps you fucking, it's a pager / it tells you sports scores, dude. Just, you know, I was a fucking shadrool back then with technology and shit. But what were we talking about before he called? I was very interesting.
What the fuck were we talking about?
No, that's how interesting it was. We both can't remember.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Literally me.
No, but now it's going to annoy the shit out of me.
That's because we have daddy brain.
Shit.
We get daddy brain.
We were, oh, man.
Go ahead.
I was getting into the fucking point, too.
Yeah, you were. You were getting into a nice one again. Look.
You were saying, oh, shit. We were talking about the kid, and then you were saying how you want to expose. Oh, the peep show.
The peep
show. So I came to New York City as a young man.
Yes.
And it said peep, 25 cents, peep, 50 cents. And I'm like, what is that? And they were like, hey, you know, you see naked chicks. And I'm like, no, you don't. When you're 14, you're like, no, you don't. And I remember going in there on this.
You were 14 when you went to your first peep show?
14 or 15. Yeah, Jesus. It was in Times Square. And I'll never forget, there was a square door, and it went up, and this black chick came out, and she had these huge, floppy, natural tits. And I just put my fucking hand on one of them and started squeezing really hard, and she goes, oh man, and all of a sudden, like, she was like, oh, $2 more, and the thing just shut.
Yeah,
like, and I was like, and I couldn't believe I touched a tit.
Yeah,
you know, it was incredible. But mushy. You know, now looking back, I realize how absolutely disgusting.
I want to hear disgusting. Yeah. I ate a chick's asshole.
What, at a peep show?
Yes.
No.
Verse.
Jesus.
Listen to me. First of all, let me describe it before you get fucking carried away. It wasn't your fucking big flabby black tit that you squeezed. It was a hot Filipino woman. I don't say girl because she wasn't that young. She wasn't that old either. She wasn't like 50.
But like my thing is, how old were you?
I was 40. No. 2 years ago.
No, I'm just thinking.
No, I was in my I was in my late 20s because here's the thing. When we came, I came to New York. The first time I came to New York, was with Billy Burr.
Yeah.
Listen to this fucking lineup. Billy Burr, yeah. Dane Cook, Bob Marley.
Wow.
Al Del Benny. I know. Who,
Al, I don't know.
Who? And Patrice O'Neill.
Wow.
So we all came together and rolled into clubs. We went up to the Strip.
You didn't all live together, though.
No, we just came into New York together.
Right.
We rolled into the Strip. We rolled down to the Boston Comedy Club. We went down to the Cellar. I remember going to the Cellar and just feeling uncomfortable. Like, I mean, look at where we are now. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's your home.
That was my surrogate family.
Yeah, yeah.
These people.
Right.
I mean, literally. They have my family in New York City.
Wow.
And I remember when we went to the Peep shows. And that's, you know, the ones, because they're round. The room is like a round room, like a genie's bottle.
Right.
And they have all the doors around it. And we all went in each door. And I remember all the windows open and our heads just went in. And I saw, like, over to my left was Burr, just a wide-eyed fucking ginger.
Oh,
like,
man.
What the fuck? You know, Burr didn't like it right away. Like, ugh. You know, Burr was like... Patrice was like, oh, I'm fucking in heaven.
Oh, man.
I remember just, like, we didn't even jerk off because we didn't know you could. We didn't know there was, like, you had to look out for jizz. That didn't even come into play until,
right.
Like, the third time. And then I went back by myself. I remember going back by myself, dude. And what a scary, fucking beautiful moment that was.
Because
I went into one of the booths with the chair where you do the videos.
Yeah.
And you can just A, B, C, and D. You know, when you there's like a million, A has like 30 movies, B has, and then, you know, there's a fucking, all of a sudden you're flicking through it and you're cranking your dick and you look and there's a chick getting fucked and a chick getting fucked by and all of a sudden it's just a chick with a dick and then there's a fucking chick blowing a German Shepherd and you're like, what, you're trying to click out of it? No. Yeah. You don't want to fucking bust your nut to the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Just
some
dude eating an asshole. You're like, oh, you can, but you're worried because it's like, oh yeah, suck that dick, man. And you know it's a guy. You're like, no. Yeah, I got really addicted to it, man. And I went in and I saw this Filipino woman. She was really pretty and this great body. And because usually they're fucking, you know, these bitches look like, you know,
they look awful.
Yeah, like a war.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a C-section.
They look like homeless. Yeah.
Yeah, their belly button's fucked up from having too many kids.
Ugh.
You know, just one tit's bigger than the other.
Ugh.
You know, you can just fucking
and
gross.
And they're dirty, man.
Yeah, this girl was pretty. She was, and I remember she came over and she bent over and I just licked her asshole. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to say no. Like, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Are you a hypochondriac or no?
No. No, no. I don't know. Are you?
Yeah, like, well, you know, I had something happen. I know I told a story in your podcast last time when the girl was, you know, she was jacking me off and my, you know, shot up and it hit me in the, and I freaked out and hit me in the face. But I got another one for you where I was down years ago. Remember Sal's Comedy Hole?
I do.
Yeah, well, this was probably, you're talking 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
And I was right by there and I said, hey, guys, is there a good massage place around here? It's like, oh, yeah, dude, $60 right around the corner. And I walk in, and as soon as I closed the door, she was like, you want this, you want specials. And I start, I had anxiety a lot with, like, certain things, like people tricking me. I was afraid of people tricking me, right?
Wait a minute, stop. like tricks of a kids, like the rabbit? What
no,
do you mean
like, tricking
what
me?
What do you mean tricking you?
Like
scamming
like
you?
Like scamming me, but also, like, not knowing, like, you know, like always a fear of, like, you know, like transsexual shit, you know? So.
Wait a minute. So you were afraid that if you fucked around with these fucking sluts...
I was afraid because it wasn't like a legit spa.
So you're worried that she might have had a dick.
Well, like, yeah, like, I didn't know. And I had all, you know, you hear all stories and shit. So I was freaked out, right?
Right, okay.
So I go to this place. And as soon as the door closes, I never forget this. Like, it was yesterday. She goes, you want a special massage? And I go, oh, listen, I only got $60. And I was told that the massage is $60. That's all I could afford. No, you lay down. And she starts rubbing and stuff. And she's down. I got a hard on instantly. Like, I'm one of those guys. Like, I could never be I'd be the worst porn star in the world.
Right.
I get a hard on when I hug my wife. I'm not even joking you. Like, when I hug her, I get a chubby. Yeah,
are you kidding me?
No, when I hug my wife, I get a chubby. You know, if I smell her hair and shit, that's it. So,
I could literally lick my wife's pussy and my dick won't be hard.
Yeah, see, I
could be fucking my wife and I'm kidding.
I get really
I'm kidding.
I could be fucking my wife. No, so I go in, right? And she starts like doing extra things, like trying to get me to pay.
Yeah.
So she starts rubbing my balls and she starts doing, since she started like flicking it like around her chin. And I knew all of a sudden I had a panic attack, Bobby, because I thought she had a big jaw, right? So I looked at her face and
what?
I was like, I looked
what
at
what do you mean a big jaw?
Like I looked at her, right? And I was like, no, this is 100% true. So I'm looking at her and I'm going, man, this bitch looks rough. Like her, like she looked like she had a fucking jawline, like a
right.
long jawline.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going, man, is this a fucking? Then I start panicking. I had a sweat attack. I was like, is this a dude, right? And she's grabbing my dick, and I'm like, no, this can't be. So I'm looking at her feet and hands, and I started asking her questions. You got kids? And she's like, yeah, I got a baby. And I never forget. She said she had a baby named Nina. That made me feel better. So I'm looking at her feet to make sure that they were female feet. You know, you could look at feet and hands and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking at her. I'm like, all right, I think it's a female.
Because yeah, Asian guys are known to have big feet. Big hands.
And she's got
they're
these.
The best trainees in the world because little the guys are the same size as the women.
Yeah, I know. And I just looked at her jaw and I started fucking panicking. And I was like, no, I just want a massage, you know. So that happens, and I kind of noticed that luckily there was no bump. Like she had a vagina.
You sure?
Like, yeah, she had a vagina.
How do you know?
I know. Because I saw
so
it and
you
I had my
it.
Like kind of like over
did
the
you
pants.
Touch it?
Like, yeah, over the pants. I made my hand graze it.
So let me wait. Stop now. So you went and you grazed her junk.
Yeah, I had to.
You had to.
I had to because I had a full-fledged panic attack.
What if there was a dick?
To be 100% honest with you,
yes,
if there was a dick, I would have, honest to God, I would have had a full-fledged panic attack. I would have screamed, thrown up, and ran out of there, and probably been in therapy to
really?
This day. Yeah, yeah, because I was afraid of being scammed like that, you know, because that's like taking away. That's almost like a molestation thing.
No.
Like not in a
what the fuck is this?
It's almost like a sneak fuck it, you know, like it's, you know, like I don't.
First
know.
Of all, Verzi, it's not. Listen, you're paying. You went in there as a dirtball to get jerked off.
No, to get my back rubbed.
Oh, listen, Verzi. Okay, listen. I understand this is way before that you met your wife. Okay,
oh, way before.
Way before. Let's just throw the date thing out there before we get. You always got to put the date. Thing first. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, in a time far, far away.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You went in there with intentions to get a discounted hand job. Verzi, you know where you get a massage?
Where is that?
You get at a massage place during the hours of fucking 10 and 7 o'clock.
No, but I got to finish. I got to tell you what happened.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm asking questions. You married? You got kids? I'm trying to find out all kinds of information. I'm basically interrogating this.
Your
bitch.
CSI in
like,
this lady.
Yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, Nina. And then she says, but no, we can't have no more kids. Penis problem. Penis. She's telling me about. So I start getting information.
She said
she said her husband had, you know. So she has one daughter, but no more because she said penis problem. Yeah. And I kind of
and her mother's a whore. and mom works all day jerking guys like you off.
So I found out. I grazed over her. You know, and I noticed, and I was like, okay. Yeah. And her feet really did indicate, feet and hands indicated me. This is a female, but you know, maybe with a rough Korean face. So I leave, right? And I go home and I lay in bed and I can't sleep.
Right.
I can't sleep and I'm panicking.
Right. Because you're still thinking about
and
you're
I
still hard.
And I almost call my mother. I almost call my mother to say, like,
because you're still hard that it might have had a cock. You're still thinking.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I did call my mother.
You called your
mother? I called my mother and I said, Mom. I said, look, something happens. What's wrong, baby? You know, my mom knows I get anxious.
Is your mom black?
I said, no.
What's wrong, baby?
And she goes, I said, I went into this place. I told her what happened.
You did not.
And I said, I thought the lady's face was a little rough. And she, you know, she put my toe in her mouth. She put my toe in her mouth.
You told your mother that a lady's. Let me ask these questions. Stop fucking trying to run over the story. The story is going to be slowed the fuck down, Verzi.
All right.
Stop trying to just get through your fucking story. All right, you're saying very fucked up things. You were molested. That's crazy talk. The fact that you think that you were somehow...
Well, I didn't want to be.
Somehow you were the victim. She's the victim. She's a fucking lady that's got to jerk, beg guys like you to jerk for $20. Okay? She doesn't know she can work at Starbucks, get benefits, and make the same money. This fucking immigrant. She's jerking off a fucking 5 o'clock shadow guinea like you. Okay, so you're
who's
the
interrogating
one.
Her.
Yeah, you're interrogating her too. Molested. Go fuck yourself.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then you go and you tell you, how close are you to your mom that you're telling her that you fucking Asian woman sucked your foot.
I know. I did. I said, Ma, look. I said she put my foot.
I want to know why. Before you go any further, I know you want to get through this story.
Right.
Listen to me. This isn't the Marc Maron show. Okay, where you get to just fucking tell your story. I want to know. why would you tell your mother that you an Asian woman sucked on your foot?
I was so scared.
You were scared.
I was so scared that this was in my mind, and I built it up. I don't know
if it's my OCD. Were you still living with your mother?
No. No,
so living, you living by yourself?
I was living down the city. I was living in Queens.
Are you living in Queens?
I was living in Queens.
And you called your mom and said, "Ma, I got to talk to you."
Yeah.
Did you lie to her and say, "I was just trying to get a regular massage"?
Yeah.
You lied.
Well, yeah, I didn't tell her what I, you know.
So then she said in the middle of it.
I didn't lie. I just left information out.
That's called.
I just, you know,
you really are married.
I said, "Mom, I went to this place to pay $60 to get a massage."
Yeah.
And this lady tried egging me on to do sexual stuff. She put my foot in her mouth, and my mother just started hysterical laughing.
Right.
And I'm going, I told my mom, you know, I didn't know, and I looked at the jaw, but I figured it out. It was, you know, so I go home.
Yeah.
And I can't sleep, Bobby.
Really?
Can't sleep. I'm like, man. I was like, I know.
Because you've been molested.
I was like, I don't know, man. Like, why was she so willing to? Like, I know that sounds crazy. Why was she? So I said, I can't do this without going back. I got to go back.
What? Wait a minute.
In the morning.
Wait a minute, Versi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're fucking freaked out this might be a guy.
Still.
So you're fucking
seeing a vagina.
Your cure. This is your cure. To make sure you're going to pay her to take her pants off.
No. I'm going back to just, I need to see her again.
So you need validation.
I need to see her again. It's light out. It's nice. So I get on the subway from Queens by myself.
Right.
And I go to Manhattan. It's probably 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the door and I knock on the door. Mm-hmm. And she comes up the stairs and it's her. Same outfit, which grossed me out because it's the same. It's the afternoon after. She's wearing the same exact thing.
You understand that she's a fucking prostitute. You understand that she's literally probably a child, fucking prostitute.
Right, right.
She's enslaved in the house.
I'm judging her on the same shirt.
You understand that there's
it's fucking hilarious.
There's the fucking triads take all her money. And she can't afford to. She gets fed rice and fish. She doesn't. Oh, but go ahead. No, do your thing. I love you. You're fucking disgusted.
So she answers the door.
What about you? You cheap prick. You're trying to get a fucking hand job for $60. That's all I got. That's all I got. Look at. If you want anything more, I got nothing. So either you jerk me off for $60, or that's it. Who's the cheap prick? But you showered.
Yeah. So I'm looking at her, I'm like, man, she's got the same black shirt on. And then I go like this to her. I go, yeah, I was here last night. I was here last night and I think I might have left my watch. Right?
Yeah.
And she goes, Watchy? And I go, yeah, I think I might have left my watch. And I'm looking her up and down.
Right.
And I realized in the day when I saw her that this was a woman who happened to kind of have maybe like a rough, and I felt better.
Okay.
So then she goes, "Let me go look for your watch."
Yeah. Well,
she said, "Watchy, one second." Why? And she leaves.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she says, "No, no watch." Now I know there's no watch. The watch doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah. And you only have $60. You don't have money to buy a watch. You're spending all your watch money on hand jobs.
And I look at her and I go back home on the train and I feel great.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, good. Good. And then that was the end of going to places like that.
You were done after that.
I go to places where, you know, legit places.
You get a legit massage.
A legit massage.
And you pray to God that she touches your dick.
There you go.
I let me tell you something about massage.
There's
nothing better than a great massage. A great massage. But there's not, I don't give a fuck who you are. I was getting one in Aruba next to my wife.
She was getting one as well?
Yeah, we're getting the couples
the
massages
massage, yeah.
On the beach. Like it's in this hut.
Oh.
Only you can see out and people can't see in.
Oh.
And you just hear the ocean, right? It's fucking amazing. And the lady that's jerking me off could have been Jesus Christ, she could have been like some fucking some Dutch fucking basketball player. She was just massive. I mean, her hands were ginormous, just these big knuckles. And she was a woman. She was just a big Dutch woman. And my wife had this hot Arubian bitch. Dude, I was full-fledged pre-cumming.
Really?
No, she grabbed my ass cheeks, went down my ass crack, grazed my nuts with her fucking guy knuckles. My dick was just fucking shooting. Just like a fucking snail, just going in and out. Every time she touched a nut, it would go in and I'd clench my hand. She rolled me over and I was stuck like gum to the fucking bed sheet. flipped over and jizz just coming out like my dick had a stroke.
And your wife is just your wife
right next to me. She didn't see shit. She don't give a fuck. But yeah, dude, that's my weakness is, you know, the massage. But
you know, what are these places down here that says foot massage?
Okay, here's
foot
the deal.
Relaxing.
Here's the deal with these places. Foot, first of all, I don't know about foot. You go to a foot place, you're going to get your foot rubbed. But if you go to these, what they did back when I moved to New York, right around the corner.
Right.
They used to have, you know, they had sex clubs in, around 15, 20 years ago when me and Billy and we, when I came here in 1996, 97.
What do you mean sex clubs?
They had clubs where you'd go and you'd see a chick like blowing three dudes.
What?
Yeah, just crazy. The vault. They used to call it the vault.
Jeez.
And you'd go there and it was just, you know, dudes walking around in a fucking, you know, diaper. And some chick sucking like full, like you're not supposed to, but some chick would just get on the ground and just start sucking dicks. And once two other dudes saw, they just whipped their dicks out and run over like it was a fountain and everybody was thirsty. Somebody found water. You know what I mean? Just fucking, oh, suck it, suck it. And then a dude would come over and break it up. You know what I mean? Yeah, they had, it was crazy.
But I heard about stuff like that in Europe, not New York City.
Dude, back in 96, it was crazy, dude. They had fucking, I remember they had massage parlors with not just Asian women. Now it's all fucking Asian broads. Back then it was regular. This was before internet, like 95, before Craig's, before Backpage, and women had to walk the fucking streets.
Yeah, that's when dudes were jerking off to magazines. There was no online shit, right?
The internet ruined fucking porn. Ruined it. I mean, ruined the sex industry. There is no more street hookers. Why would you walk the street? Just put an ad up. They'll come to your fucking shitty apartment your studio that you rent in the East Village.
Yeah, and it's safer for them.
Yeah, there's no more of really pimps and shit, you know? Yeah, back when I came here, there was street whores. 43rd Street, 44th, my street, 40 over in the 40s, the upper 40s where I live.
Yeah.
Fucking backed up cars, just street whores. Chicks walk in the middle of the winter with G-strings on, high heels. They'd walk right into your car, take a titty out and grab your dick. They were really stealing your wallet. Remember, yeah, maybe. That's the one thing. These girls would come up to you and they'd fucking, I remember me and Dane were in Boston, and the street whore came up and was grabbing his dick, and he was like, "Oh my God, this went before we came to New York. We were young comics," and she stole his cell phone. There was the original flip phone. Remember that, the cell one?
Yeah, yeah.
And she took it. We had to go fucking lie to the cops.
That's funny.
And I remember he took my phone. I was like, "What the fuck? You let her grab your junk?" But yeah, dude, it was bad back then. But here you could go to these places. You had to find them in the Village Voice.
Yeah.
The back of the Village Voice, you'd find these massage places. I remember you'd walk in and there was one place everybody had to hold a newspaper up. And if you get kicked out if you pulled it down, because that they just had one room, a lobby. You had to hold a newspaper up and then they'd call your name, your fake name. And you'd go in and they'd parade, you know, five or seven girls down, and, you know, blonde, black, Puerto Rican, white,
to choose
Asian.
From?
Yeah, you choose from.
Wow.
Right around the corner.
Jesus.
Above the Fat Black Pussycat, you know, where next door there's a bar. Above that downstairs was a Burger King. Okay,
right.
Upstairs was, you said Taekwondo. But it was really, if you walked in, around seven Asian girls in night. They used to wear nightgowns or evening gowns. They come out dressed up in high heels, looking as sex. They
like
were hot fucking girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd pay fucking $60. You'd go in a room and it was no fucking massage.
Yeah.
It was fucking, I'm going to suck your dick.
Oh, yeah.
$20 more. I'm going to fuck this. I made love to a girl one night. I'm not kidding, dude.
I made love to a girl one night. No, you know what's nice, though,
I
man?
Did. I fucking made love, dude. I was so lonely, and I had nobody, and I had no money, and I had nothing. And I just had spot money, and I went in there, and I was so sad, and I found this. She was kind of chunky Asian girl that spoke perfect. She was like, "Hey, what's up?" She was the only one that spoke, like, English, you know, but, like, American.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And she had these fat titties, and we went in the room, and she let me kiss her. Like, wow. They don't, and we were kissing, and she had great breath. She was like a regular fucking Asian broad. And I was, she's like, "Baby, please. Oh, yeah, baby. Daddy, please fuck me. I love you. And I was like, I love you too. And we were saying, I love you. I'm not kidding, dude.
Wow.
I was slow fucking her. Had a rubber on. I was like, she's like, do you love me? I was like, I love you. There's some fat Asian broad. I was just fell in love with for fucking 8 minutes.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Asians take care of them. See, this is what I like, okay?
Yeah.
Asian culture, Japanese women.
Japanese.
And I'm not saying this. This is not to any of your listeners. I'm not sexist or anything. I'm not trying to say that. But the Japanese culture, they put the man. It's like the Japanese women put them. And this is in Japan mainly, obviously. But the man is first. The man's needs come first. Whether it would be just, you know, food and sex and all that. Like taking. Yeah. That's just their culture.
Yeah.
You know, I heard of a thing. Okay, talk about this. I heard this happened. An American company, obviously can't use names, but I heard an American company went out. Well, a Japanese company located in America took their employees out to Japan.
Okay.
Everyone goes to dinner. They kneel down. They eat this whole dinner. Uh-huh. All the men are sitting there. All the businessmen are sitting there. And they eat this amazing dinner, and then they have dessert.
Uh-huh.
And then they said these Japanese women come swirling down like fucking ninjas in a movie. Come swirling down.
Right.
And then blow everybody after dessert.
Really?
I was just like,
Who told you that?
I'll tell you after.
Well, I don't know. Wait a second. Is this?
No. This is a
legitimate
company,
source?
A very lucrative company.
Okay. Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Reebok.
A company like that. But it's a Japanese company located here.
Sony.
Okay. So something like that.
Samsung.
So it was something like that. Let's just say they went out. They flew out. They met these guys.
Can you mouth it to me?
They had no. I don't know the
company.
I don't know the exact company, but I know who I talked to and where they work. I know that it's I know that this is legit.
Okay.
And because I know that the dude I talked to was married and he refused. He said no, like no thank you. But it was part of their, what they wanted to show there was, oh, you're here, we want you to have a good time.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate your work back in America. Here's dinner
and
here's
a
dessert. Mm-hmm. And now these women come down and they'll blow you. It's part of it. You know, the little hee hee, how you do, you know that. And I just thought, I was like, look man, like that's an epic dinner.
Yeah.
You know, that's a dinner that you'll never, you know, like
I wish that podcast ended like this. I wish my shows fucking some Asian broad swirled around from the ceiling and sucked our dicks at the end of this fucking show. That'd be a great podcast.
Like, that's just, you know, doesn't happen in America, Bobby.
Well, look, man, I bet it does. We're not in that tax bracket.
Right.
I guarantee it happens here. You know, back in the, like I was talking about, in the 90s, the early 90s, late 90s, there was so much crazy shit all over. Before the internet, where women could stay home, they had to find a place like a Kittery, Maine. Kittery, Maine had the best fucking massage parlor ever.
Wow.
Right over the border. It said the men's health club or whatever. You go in, you give them the, and you go down and you pick this white chicks. These were like fucking hot chicks you'd meet at a bar.
Yeah.
And you go and you pick this smoking hot chick from Maine or whatever town she came up from, Rhode Island or whatever. Yeah. And you give her an extra $50 and she fucks the shit out of it.
That's the place Bob Marley owns, right?
What's that?
Bob Marley owns that joint?
No, I wish he did.
I wish he
Bobby,
did.
The fucking girls, Bobby, they fucking suck your cock. Woohoo, your butt.
That guy's running Maine, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not running that. But yeah, he's a fucking, he's
great guy. We had a great time in Montreal with him.
Yeah, Bob Marley's one of the funniest guys on the planet. I mean, I don't know how we segue from whores to Bob Marley.
It was Maine.
It was Maine. Yeah, he is a great guy. Unbelievable. Bob Marley, one of the funniest guys. He is just a fucking goofball.
Oh, he's a rip.
And he's totally clean.
Yeah, he's
pretty
a rip.
Pretty much clean. He's just a fucking, he's just a goofball. He's a killer. And I love what he's done with his life. He was just like, fuck you. I'm funny enough to just do shows I want to do. I mean, he's got bought a shitload of real estate.
Yep.
He's got shit every... He's just a smart guy. Really smart guy. He's got a great... And his family and his friends are his team.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, if we could transition into this, it's funny you brought that up because I was thinking about that. I was talking to some people, and I don't know how you feel about this, but...
I'm going to tell you.
It's actually on a serious note, too.
I'm going to tell you how I feel.
Please do, because it's just us, so you have to.
Yeah.
Given your life...
You can shut that off, too, by the way, if you want to shut it off.
It's up to you.
Yeah, shut it off.
Oh, yeah. All right, hold on. Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but it's just making a noise. There you go. That's the AC, the oldest AC in the world.
You know, going back to what you said about Bob Marley, and I love this, and I think it's an important thing. And I, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but just seeing your family, lovely family, by the way, wife and son, right. It's like there's something awesome about not giving your life to this business. There's something amazing about you giving your career to it. Like when right. you give your life to it as far as on a career level.
Right.
You know, but I don't think people frown at me because of this, but I'm not big on, I like having a close knit of friends. I love everybody. Mm-hmm. I network with everybody. I'm as you said in Montreal, it's great to be part of the comedy community.
Yes.
And I love that.
Right.
I love that. But I am not a do shows, stay out all night, hang out with everybody, like be like every, you know, have a click all the time. There's something I love about this business where when you do perform, and then you get the fuck out. And it's kind of like, it reminded me of like the Bob Marley thing you said. It's like he just decided, I'm funny, I have a family, I just care about making money for them and doing it and not getting caught up. And somebody said to me once, you know, don't give your whole entire life to it. And
right.
and I feel like I feel like almost a better comedian because of it. But how do you feel like on that level? You know, because I know you have a family now, and you had a family later in your career,
right?
A son. How do you feel like that? Because I know you're not a hangout guy either, right?
Well, no, I used to be, bro. I used to be. Look, I think me, Patrice, Keith, Norton, Voss, Colin. I mean, dude, I used to hang out to the birds. You know, you
right.
get.
But you were young, right?
Yeah, that shit, man.
Yeah, I
remember.
Know.
I mean, many a nights down here. I used to bang, you know, chicks across the street just to have a place to stay so I didn't have to go all the way home. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah.
But there is a point where all of a sudden you realize that you have a job to do. There's a job to be done.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, I've realized this in the last few years. I have to come down here and do something. I can't just come down here and hang out. I can't. I have to. Even if it's one fucking new line.
I know.
I have to do something.
I know.
You know, and, you know, I love my wife.
Yeah.
Now I got this kid at home that I can't, I love being around. So, yeah, I love hanging out with people and I do still hang out, but I get the fuck out. When I'm done, I'm done. When I'm here, I'm here and we have fun.
Sure.
But as soon as I'm done, you go the fuck home. Because what happens, too, is that you, I think as you get older and you have a family and, you know, there's people that don't have that, though. There's people that don't have the family life. There's people that aren't getting married, that don't have a girlfriend, a serious, they don't live with a woman.
Yeah.
I think those guys hang out because what the fuck are they going home to?
Right.
You know, if they're not getting box or, you know, doing something or drinking, are they going to go home to a fucking lonely apartment?
Right.
And read a book.
Well, see, that's the thing. They're fighting that. They're fighting that.
Well, some guys don't get into it. Some guys don't have that. You know what I mean? I mean, think about it. Who has that? Me, you, Bird has it. Bird has it now. He's getting married.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, I love the difference.
Norton. I mean, Norton doesn't hang either. He goes home. He's a very busy guy, but
yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I love going home now. I love not. I always say this: leave when you're gonna leave. You know when you're first. All right, I'm out of here. That's when you need to get the fuck out.
Right.
Don't say I'm all right. I'm gonna get the fuck out and then stay 10 more minutes.
Right.
Because then someone's gonna say something. Something's gonna happen. You're just gonna be like, ah, fuck. I should have left. I leave when I say I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's something about popping in. Hey, how you doing? And then getting back to reality.
Yeah.
You know, because like even in Montreal, you could hang out there and all this crazy shit and all these people. But my reality is my kid and my wife. And,
sure.
You know, this, I don't know what it is. It's happiness.
Yeah.
Which is not excitement. You know, people get that confused a lot. There's excitement. There's this crazy excitement of doing shows and hot chicks thinking you're funny and people talking to you and sitting around and hanging out and laughing and all going place to place to place. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You come home, you're fucking exhausted, and you wake up at 4 o'clock and go do it all over again. And
yeah.
And then there's difference between going home and your kid smiles at you.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
And your wife is like, hey.
Yeah.
And you laugh with your chick and go to bed at fucking 11. Because you got to wake up at 6. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah. It's tough.
That's happy.
Yeah.
That's like not this, oh my God, I can't wait to get home.
Yeah.
It's fucking just a smile that comes over you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think is in life, my goal is to connect to happiness more than excitement.
Right. And I noticed when we were in Montreal what you did, and I was actually taking note of it, and I was like, really, that's fucking, that's awesome. And, you know, it's like, I love the balance of both. I love coming into this city. This is the best city in the world. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. You know, and you get to perform out here and do what we love and our dream, we're following and doing all that stuff. And then you leave it and you have this little boy and little girl, and you know, like you have the little boy and you're like, yeah, that's everything. But one thing I noticed, and I noticed that there is some jealousy. There's jealousy in there, a lot of...
Hang on, I want to talk about this. Hang on, we're going to take a quick break for sponsors.
Okay.
And we'll come right back. So I want to talk about this. This, because this is interesting shit, because I'm about to step into your world.
Yeah, sure.
A little more than I have been.
Sure.
So we'll be right back. We're going to do a little sponsor break and... pay some bills. Fuck off. All right. You mean buy a light bulb? That's how much fucking money I make. All right, check it out. You guys go to tweakedaudio.com right now and use the code word dude, and you get 33% off all your headphones. They're inexpensive, great headphones. I have around 5 pairs of them. Okay, make sure you go to tweakedaudio.com. They're inexpensive, not cheap, inexpensive. They're great headphones to leave in your car, in your gym bag, your suitcase, because, and they have mic, not mic'd, a bunch of different styles to choose from. And right now, if you are a fan of the show and you go there and you use the code word dude, you get 33% off and free shipping. You can't fucking beat that. That's almost half off and free shipping. So go buy them. Christmas is coming, Halloween. Buy some shit for Halloween. Give away headphones this year instead of candy. Stop ruining kids' teeth. Teethses. Tweakedaudio.com, one of the sponsors of YKW, dude. Amazon.com and Gamefly. Go to the links on Robert Kelly's page on Riotcast.com. Riotcast.com/Robert Kelly. There's an Amazon link. Anything you buy off the internet, anything I tell you to get off of Tech Talk with Bobby and friends, go to Amazon.com and use my link, and we make a little money off of everything you buy. And Gamefly.com/YKWD gets you 2 free weeks, motherfucker, of Gamefly, the Netflix of video game. Get the new GTA. Get all the new games that come out. Don't buy them. Rent them. See if you want them, and then go buy them. And you can actually keep them from Gamefly. It's if you're a gamer, you need to be a member of Gamefly.com, and you get 2 weeks free. If you go to Gamefly.com, YKWD, bitches. And thank you for all the donations. The donations are literally making this network and this studio what it is. So you guys are awesome. All you guys who are donating to the YKWD podcast, thank you very, very much from the bottom of my fats. I really appreciate it. So, all right, there you go. We got the November 6th. At the Village Underground, if you go to NewYorkComedyFestival.com, NYComedyFestival.com, or go to my website, RobertKellyLive.com, you can buy tickets. We have a live YKWD show. That's a podcast. That means Joe List, Kelly Festuca, Louis J. Gomez. We got Bailey J., the shemale, gorgeous fucking... look at Virgie's getting all fucked up. I don't give a fuck what you say. You'd let her fucking give you a hand job. And a special guest I can't announce just yet, but it's going to be worth the ticket price. We're going to do some stand-up at the front, and we're going to do an hour or a little longer podcast live in front of a live studio audience. So if you're a fan of the show, you live anywhere near New York City, or you're going to be here November 6th, get your tickets now. ComedyCellar.com. NYComedyFest.com or my website, Robert Kelly Live. And following, that's a 7 o'clock show. Right after that show at 9:30, we have the Riotcast Network comedy show. Straight up comedy show. We have Mandy Stattmiller. We have Rich Voss and Bonnie McFarlane. We have Jim Florentine, myself. We have a special guest on that show. And we have Colin Quinn's going to be on that show, who's a big supporter of the network. This is a unbelievable lineup that's following the YKWD Live. So we have a live podcast, and then we have another show right after that, all at the Village Underground. Village Underground, all sponsored by the New York Comedy Fest. It's the first night of the fest, and we're popping this fucking thing off. So make sure you come down there. If you're a fan of Riotcast, you're a fan of my show, you get your tickets now. For both shows or one show, whatever the fuck you're going to do. We're also going to have a live podcast going on before the shows, right in the lounge upstairs. We're going to have an after party. And if you get your tickets, if you're a member of the show, you're going to get a wristband. You're going to be part of that after party. It's going to be an awesome night. So get your tickets now. November 6th, New York Comedy Festival, YKWD Live, Riotcast Comedy Show. Get them fucking now, because these tickets are going to go. Yeah.
We're fucking back.
We're back, baby. We're back.
Motherfucker.
Troy Kwan. The man who produced this shit. YKWD here, one-on-one with Paul Verzi from Verzi Effect, your own podcast.
Yeah.
People should check that out. Where can they find that?
They could get it on Podbean. I do it. The hosting is Podbean and on iTunes. The Verzi Effect
on iTunes. Great,
yep.
Man.
Yeah,
awesome. So we're before we were we had to go to break there and do a little advertising. We we were talking about this life.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, you know, the balance of both, and you know that's I'm shooting a documentary movie about it. But what I noticed and what bothers me is...
Am I in this documentary?
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, and it's going to show the balance of life, you know, with kids and doing all that stuff. And it's really good. And there's great people in the movie. So we got a few more, 6 more months to shoot. But yeah, you're in that. But what I wanted to say before, and it took me a while to figure out what was happening in comedy clubs with bookers. But I noticed that when I would talk about my son and daughter... Or whenever it would come up as me, a family man,
right?
I started to see resentment and I started to see jealousy with people who didn't have that.
Like, what do you mean? And, like who? Like other comics?
Yeah, like just like making comments. And it's listen, it's something that a comedian who's perceptive, listen, I'm sure you can read things.
Okay. I can read.
You can read.
I can't spell, but I know how to fucking read,
The perception of comedians, myself included, and I'm sure you, when you could feel what somebody's doing.
Right.
When you know.
Your instincts.
Yeah, my instincts are saying, like, that little comment about me having a fucking family, okay, that little comment was because I know what you're doing, okay? You fucking failure who doesn't have anybody who loves them. That's what it is. And it took me a second to realize that.
This is why I love you, though, Verzi. Can I just say this?
Yeah, sure.
You have fucking... You have the patience of Joe Pesci. Do you understand?
No, I get
what the fuck. I'm a fucking get your shine box. I'll fucking kill you.
No, but you know what, Bobby? I started to notice it in bookers too. Bookers,
what?
Bookers who didn't have families and kids, they were just kind of like, I noticed that they would be almost like, you know, they just, I just felt something, and I was like, almost like, oh, Verzi's a family man. You know, he's got to go home afterwards. Oh, he's got to do this.
So
and it's like,
can I just say this?
Yeah.
So you're saying that. Guys like to book guys that are going to hang out and party and have fun and be stupid.
Some places.
And you know, you're like, fuck, I'm going back to my room, or I'm going home to my family. I'm not hanging out and getting stoned or doing drugs or getting totally smashed with you every night and just staying out till 3 a.m. so you can have stories that you hung out with Paul Verzi.
Or if they see me do a bit, a new bit about my daughter, and the bit works, but they're kind of like, they'd rather listen to maybe the awkward alternative guy who's talking about jerking off or talking about drinking, and they're gonna hang out, and then I go home. So in other words, I started to feel, when I started to talk about my daughter, when my daughter was born, and I started to obviously talk about our life.
Right.
I started to notice that it was just like a few people would put me into this family man thing, which I am, but not in a way that I thought was.
Well, Comedy Central did that to me.
Right.
They you know, they basically were like, we're gonna pass on you.
Mm-hmm.
I've headlined across the country. I kill everywhere I go. I'm literally a funny guy. I'll say it. I'm fucking funny.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a fucking funny headlining stand-up comedian, and because I'm not their demographic.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not the 18 to. Are you nuts?
Yeah.
Funny is fucking funny.
Sure.
I don't care if you're talking to 9-year-olds about being married.
Yeah.
If it's funny, it's fucking funny.
I submitted last year.
Yeah.
This will be my second year. Right. This will be my second year submitting my half hour to Comedy Central.
Right.
And last year I felt really, really good. It was one of the, and you know, as comedians, we don't like looking at ourselves. You ever look at yourself on stage? You look at you like, oh, look at my neck. I'm a fat fuck. You know, I don't like this joke. I don't like that joke. I look bloated. I'm a fucking mess.
That's literally the voice in my head.
That's
exactly what I say to myself.
and I, excuse me. I watched my 25 minutes that they were going to look at, and I go, wow, I actually look thinner.
Yeah.
I like that joke. It made me laugh. I sent it, and it was good reviews. But, yeah, Paul, we like Paul. We think Paul's funny, but, you know, he talked about his family. He talked about his family a little bit, and here's the thing. The demographic is, you know, the demographic
is,
you know, frat.
Yeah, it's not, but yeah. It's really not.
Frat people.
The most famous comedians in the world right now have nothing to do with that demographic. The guys that are literally selling out arenas have nothing to do. Selling out theaters have nothing to do with that demographic. They're not frat dumb people. Maybe what your TV, what people are watching on your TV shows are fucking idiotic and simple minded. But stand up comedy, funny's funny. Louis C.K., Billy Burr aren't frat guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Chris Rock isn't a frat comic.
Yeah, well, luckily...
They're talking about real shit.
Yeah.
I'm not comparing myself or you to them.
I know what you're saying.
And I think it might be a polite way to say we don't like his comedy.
Right, could be.
I mean, no, seriously. I have to take that into consideration that, hey, maybe they don't like... That was a polite way of saying I'm not into your shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you gotta... I took that into consideration, too. It's like, either I say that I don't think you're funny, which you're going to go, fuck you, or I say, you know, we're going to pass, and it's not our demographic. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You'll never know. And you can't, you know, what you talk about now, what I talk about, look, I'm talking about my son.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the birth. The new 10 minutes I have about having a baby is fucking all I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but here's the thing, too. It's you know, I don't know if people, I haven't felt what you felt. Like, I'm about to go into the suburbs for the first time in my life. This is fucking scaring the shit out of me, Verzi. But here's the thing. You've lived in the suburbs your whole life. I've lived in foster homes, little juvie jails, you know, fucking basements.
But I have lived in Queens. I've lived in Manhattan.
I've lived in Manhattan. I mean, for most of my life, I've lived in these
cities.
I've been surviving.
Mm-hmm.
So surviving is where I feel comfortable. And now when I moved back to New York 10 years ago, 11 years ago, I finally got a doorman building with all the accoutrements. And, you know, all that shit. And I, you know, had my car, and then I bought a place, and oh my God, I bought my dream apartment, like literally 2 blocks away from my friend Billy Burr, where he bought his fucking apartment. It was like, this is the shit. And here I am, you know, I'm used to the fucking people screaming and yelling and the fucking homeless people and the, you know, all 24 hours a day shit going on. I used to love that. That was my energy. That was my life force.
Yeah.
And now all I want is to... At around 5 o'clock, as the sun's going down, I want to just go outside with a cup of coffee and my wife and the kid sleeping in the other room, or maybe with the kid, and fucking just be quiet.
Yeah.
And maybe barbecue some dinner.
Yeah.
And come back in and have dinner. And then, you know, I mean, I can't wait for this fucking silence.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm scared to death of it, because I'm afraid that when you get out there, bro, when you get out to that silence, when you get out there and it is, fuck it, I'm not going to go in tonight. You know what I mean? I wouldn't. Am I going to come in on a fucking Saturday early to do a spontaneous podcast with Paul Verzi? Maybe I won't.
By the looks of this fucking studio, you will. And you will, because you know what?
What?
You have that. You built this. You're going to. You know what? You're going to look outside.
The fans built this, Paul.
The fans. you know, you're going to look at your son rolling around in the grass, and you're going to like the silence. But what bothered me, back to the thing, is when I do material now, not about my family.
Right.
Oh, man, you're funny as fuck. You're funny. So it's almost like, why? Why is it? See, that's what I noticed. It wasn't about the comedy.
Because they can't relate. They can't relate to family shit, Paul. They can look at people like what they relate to. It's not a personal thing. It's not a fuck Paul. Ugh, Paul and his family. It's I don't relate to that.
Right.
I didn't relate to fucking. You know, there's shit I related to when I was coming up as comedy. You know.
Right.
I related to Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, look, funny. Trump's funny. Trump's everything. I mean. You know, I thought Bobby Collins was fucking awesome back then when he talked about his dog. My dog. I love my dog. Continental, Bobby. Continental. You know, all that shit,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they might be just liking the shit that you do. That you talk. Look, people are loving the shit I'm talking. Like, I'm getting like, dude, you're getting really funny. Because I'm opening up about real shit, about having a kid and my baby and all this crazy stuff, you know.
But I feel like that's when I got better and turned a corner was when I talked about real life stuff.
I think so. I absolutely think that happens.
Yeah.
But there's some people that aren't going to get it. They're not going to. It's not that they don't like you or like your life. They don't relate to it. And it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad. I don't want to fucking be around those people.
Right.
Those club owners. I don't want to be your guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy. Oh, we hung out all last night and got fucked up. And I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that went back to his room, called his fucking wife, didn't do perverted shit, didn't fucking eat like a savage, didn't have to, you know, go fucking rogue because I was feeling lonely. Actually, okay, I'm feeling lonely, but I'm okay. I just talked to my wife and saw my kid. I feel better. I feel happy.
Yeah, you don't want to be with that fuck.
Yeah, let me go write some shit or return some fan mail or do something positive for my career. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hate those motherfuckers, dude. Those fucking, I hate those motherfuckers, you know? Well, yeah, this guy's got to go home to his wife. He's not going to have a drink. It's, yeah, I do.
Who
I
the
do.
Fuck says that?
There are some fucking assholes out there. Like, it's like, you're not hanging out tonight? Pfft, fucking guy's not hanging out tonight. It's like, yeah, I'm not hanging out tonight.
Yeah, but that's what they're supposed to do. They're trying. Misery loves company, bro.
Yeah, that's it. That's what it is.
Yeah, they.
But I'm not good around those people is what I'm saying. That misery loves company, that person, you know, I'm not good with that because I fucking respect people. You know, I fucking respect
That's
you.
Why I love you, man.
You know?
I love you. This is why I love it's you, just, Versi. You have a fucking code. You have some type of code, like with these things like that.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, that's fuck you. I don't fucking like it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I don't know what it is. And sometimes it could be a curse because that's the Sicilian thing in me. Yeah. You know, it's like if you do me wrong once, I fucking, you know, you can't fucking let go. But, you know, I love people who fucking get it. You know, I love people that are fucking logical and get it. You don't have to, you know how many cool fucking, you know, I'll give a guy like Dan Soder, you know, a guy like Dan Soder, a guy like, you know, Michael Shea, guys like that. Like, oh man, you got a house up in the country, man. That's fucking awesome, dude. That's great. Like, it's just, it's a fuck, and they get it, and they don't, but they get it because you know what? They're secure.
You know what a house in the country stands for?
What's that?
Giving up.
To them.
Yes, but no. Look, it felt that way to me too, Paul, a long time ago. Yeah, having a wife was giving up.
Having a family.
Having a child.
Right.
Having a child was giving up to me. I'll be honest with you, brother. I still fight with it a little bit. I still get scared because it's lack of confidence in my abilities to overcome everything. Wherever I live, whoever's, you know what I mean? No matter what, I could live in fucking Tennessee in the woods.
Right.
I'm still going to be a fucking hilarious guy.
Yeah.
So when I go to the club, but I still get, like I said, I get afraid that I might not. If I move an hour out of the city, like you live an hour out of the city.
I live an hour out.
I love houses up where you live.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid if I move up there that far,
right,
I'm not going to come in anymore.
Well, first,
I'm afraid of that. And now those fears are unfounded. It's bullshit.
Right.
It's fucking bullshit. It's an excuse. It's, you know, it's horseshit. It really is. It's fucking horseshit. If you have good work ethic and you are, you know, you'll fucking come in when you have to come in and you'll, like you.
Yeah.
You show the fuck up.
Well, first of all, I mean, some people act like an hour is fucking, like I'm living in fucking Tennessee. You know, an hour is an hour. For a comedian like me who used to drive to fucking Milwaukee when I was afraid to fly to break fucking even.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. When I was fucking 4 years in and I wanted to do, you know, I kind of did it opposite than a lot of guys in the city. I did city, but what I did was I started to feature on the road first and I would fucking drive to Milwaukee.
Wow.
I drove in 2005. I drove to Milwaukee for $350 for the fucking week with gas and everything. I probably lost two bills. Okay.
and I was getting in front of 180 people a night, crushing. With shitty surface. No, with shitty surface jokes.
Okay, well, I'm kidding.
No. To get on stage, what I was doing was I was killing with jokes that you could kill with, but I wasn't really opening up. But what I was doing was I was getting stage time.
Right.
And I drove 15 fucking hours to do it.
Right.
So now I have a feeling, and you're right, a lot of people do use it as an excuse. And a lot of people, but you are funny. A guy like you who I look at and I'm looking at this thing, it's a joke. You would come in, you'd probably get more hungry with me. I remember J.B. Smoove said something once. He was outside Stand Up New York, and he goes,
"What's up, motherfucker?"
He goes. He said, "When my daughter was," and I didn't need my kids to push me, but he said something. He goes, "When my daughter was born, I was already doing comedy." He goes, "That's when I just fucking." There's something. I think it comes down to the person. I really believe it comes down to the person. You know, I'm gonna get in my car, and I drove. Look, I was here. I'm gonna be here fucking tonight. I'm fucking here all the time, and then I go on the road, and my wife knows it. Part of my job is to drive an hour into the fucking city to do stand up, but I'm not gonna fucking feel sorry for it. I'm happy about it. And you know what? To me, and that's what the documentary's about, and this is what we're going to talk about, and it's like, that obstacle's going to show my fucking kids, and it's going to show my family. Yeah, you know, my dad went and did this, but he also came home and he was a dad, and he wasn't some fucking guy living in a studio apartment worried about fucking his spot at you know,
that makes sense.
You know, he got his spot. So I just got to a point where I felt like some people put me in this, oh, you know, yeah, he's fun. Almost like, yeah, he's funny, but he's got a family and lives away. Almost as if that's like, it bothered me. And I was like, don't fucking understand, I'm doing what you're doing, except I'm doing it better because I have a life, motherfucker. Don't understand what I'm doing. Understand that I'm doing what you're not doing. Like, in other words, I'm not doing something that's hurting me. Okay, because you don't have a family and it's not hurting you. I'm doing something you can't do. So maybe you get two more spots a week or three more spots a week. But I'm still getting up like crazy, and I have a fucking family and a life. And if you respect that and appreciate it and love it, that's great. If you don't, and here's another thing. I get defiant towards bookers who are like, well, if you talk about your family, I'm like, I'll fucking do another set where I don't talk about my fucking family. I don't, you know, look how I got into Montreal. I got into Montreal that way. I got into Montreal. The only reason a guy like me got into Montreal Comedy Festival was because I had to fucking showcase and be so funny to the point where they were like, look, it was embarrassing to not fucking put me in there.
Here's the thing, though. I want to tell you something.
I'm not saying that to be arrogant.
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
Okay. And this is what I've learned in the last 3-4 years, okay? And I don't take offense to this.
Okay.
The one thing that you and I've learned this from Louis and Colin and, you know, guys like that who are just, you know, don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder.
Right.
Do not fucking get this chip about alternative clubs or Comedy Central or this, you know, people who don't respect. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have my life, my comedy. The one thing that I've tried to do is just really know that I am not in competition with anything or anybody. Nobody's career has an effect on my career.
Yeah.
And I can write as many hours of comedy as I want, as good as I want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I can write as many sitcoms and try to sell them as I want. I can do whatever I want. I have the people in place to hand a pilot to.
Sure.
And say, I wrote this. Can we sell it? And if they go, you know, and I have an hour, I want to film it. Those are in place for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what Billy does and Louie and anybody? He just writes an hour and films it, and then people see it and go, holy shit.
Right.
Let's go see this guy. And then people in the industry go, let's put him in our stuff because I like him.
Yeah.
And Louie, the same thing. I mean, it doesn't matter who, what, where, or when thought anything about them or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They're just worried about one thing.
Yeah.
Their job. So it's like, you know, you too. You get like me. We have the same temper, and we can be like, fuck you, you fucking... You don't fucking...
We wear it on our sleeves a lot.
We do.
You know, we wear it on our sleeves.
Yeah, it's like a chip we have, you know? People see it. Don't touch my camera with your fucking dirty finger.
I'm sorry, I didn't even realize that. My fault.
It's all right, don't worry about it.
That's fucking dirty
finger. You just fucking stuck your index slimy dad finger on my fucking brand new cameras.
Your dad's finger.
You're right, though, because, you know, Rich Voss said something to me one time in the green room of Distress Factory. You know,
he said, hey, how long have you been doing comedy? You know, go get me a cup of coffee.
he goes, the only person you're competing with in this business, he goes, all you guys and people that are coming up, they think they're competing with other comedians. And he goes, you're competing against yourself.
No, I mean, look, I mean, we bust balls on those kids on the... who do the man guy code and girl code, and they're all famous and they're, you know, but reality doesn't, you know, doesn't matter. That's their life. That's great. Good for them.
Sure.
Good for them that they had success. It's so hard to get success in this business, but that doesn't have any effect on me or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to affect anybody. It's what affects us is the shit that we're doing right now. Let's create. Me and you,
yeah.
We're fucking cool. Let's do a podcast and put it out there for people to listen to. So people that like me will like you. People that like you will like me. And we build upon that. And then they come see our shows. And oh my God, you're fucking funny.
Right.
And then, you know, it's the fans and the people that buy our products. I mean, we're selling our shit. You know, and if it isn't for the people that listening to this show, if there's nobody listening to it, I don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
I have to let some. Listen, I'm not an angry guy at heart. You know that. I don't have anger.
You're one of the nicest guys I know.
I appreciate it, but I don't have anger in my heart. I'm not an angry guy. Yeah, I can be a little spiteful. I remember. Trust me, I remember.
You have a list.
I remember. Comedians know. If you're good to us, we remember. If you're bad to us, we really fucking remember. And but like, the one thing I don't like, Bobby. This is the one fucking thing. I don't know.
Asian massage lady with a penis. We got it.
A big jawed Korean. No. is like the agent who doesn't want to fuck with you, and then all of a sudden you make a move and they go, oh man, we always loved you. That for me,
yeah, but
and I know that that's the game.
You gotta let go of that.
I know that that's the game, but that's fucking, that phoniness is really tough, brother. It's tough. It's tough to be like, oh yeah, you always loved me, you fucking liar. Where were you when, you know, it's tough.
You gotta let go of
it. I know.
You gotta, because here's the deal.
You're right.
That guy might be the guy that gets you your house.
Where I wanna go,
your,
I know.
Your next house, your family vacation home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, people, you know, Billy's booker, Mike, what's his name? Berkowitz. Yeah, people.
Oh, his agent. His agent?
Yeah, his agent.
His agent?
Yeah, his agent. Oh, he's great for the people that he works for. He's the best guy in the biz.
That's who you want. Right.
You know what I mean? But like Billy used to say that to me all the time. Nobody likes my lawyer. That he goes, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want the fucking other guys, even though you're friends with them, to like your lawyer.
I love how people, you know, think it's a bad thing to have an agent that's a pain in the... To have an agent like that means he's doing his job. What's his name? The NFL guy, Rosenhaus.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's a fucking shark.
Yeah.
And he's brutal.
But he's brutal. And look, there's people that he's fucking hurt along the way.
Right.
But here's the deal. What Patricia say all the time, what's good for you is good.
Yeah.
That's it.
There was a cocksucker. Listen to this. I gotta get this off my chest. Okay, I was in Montreal and I can't mention names. Okay,
I hate that you don't mention.
No, I'm gonna mention the company though.
Okay,
I'm gonna mention the company.
Coca Cola.
It's probably really fucking stupid
Coca-Cola.
To do because it's a big agency.
All right. Well, maybe. All right. Go ahead. Fuck it. Who cares? What are they gonna do? Well, I don't look. I don't want you to get
all right,
yourself
listen,
in trouble.
Listen. You know what? I'll just say this. It's a very, very well known big agency.
All right. Tell me. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, big agency. Now,
right.
I go and I do a
He said William Morris. No, I'm kidding. He didn't. I'm kidding.
I go to a showcase at Montreal.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I did a set, and there was... I'm not going to lie. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I murdered the set on the Best of the Fest show at Montreal. I'm not going to lie.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I was the fucking
no,
shit.
I had a really, really good, strong set.
Right.
Okay? And then... This cocksucker's client
right.
goes after me,
uh-huh.
and they were running a TV set, okay?
Yeah.
And they're running this TV set after my set, and it doesn't go well.
Right.
Okay? Because I had a really good set, and it was probably, you know, I was fired up. I had a great set. And this person goes on after me, and I'm waiting to get off. And when I get off, I mean, I'm waiting to, you know, get love from the people that saw it. You know, the industry like we do. I'm at Montreal, so it's one of those times where it does matter.
Yeah.
It does fucking matter. You know, at this moment, it's not like doing a set in the city. This is, it's one of the biggest comedy festivals in the world. Mm-hmm. And I do my set, and I'm excited. And then this guy's client goes after me and doesn't really do well. And other people say, hey, man, great set. And this guy was annoyed. this guy looked at me, and instead of saying, and somebody introduced, oh yeah, this is Paul Verzin, it's me. And I'm thinking, okay, here's an agent from a big agency, and he just sat in the back of the room and watched the set that I had. And instead of this cocksucker saying to me, hey man, great set, that was awesome, he just kind of like nodded his head and gave me. And I was trying to put together, why would he do that? And I realized why he did it. His client had to struggle after me, and he looked at me like, oh fuck that guy, this and that. And it really, it's like, now, so now, what if that agency was ever interested in me? I'm gonna, I
yeah, but here's the thing, Paul. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. And he was bummed out. He set his client up to fucking kill it, and you fucking, he thinks that you went up and annihilated in front of the guy, and his guy took a nice hot one. They didn't think, they underestimated you.
How about, hey man, nice set, and then let's see if your clients.
This isn't the fucking, what do you think, everybody's John Wayne? What the fuck is wrong with you? This is show business. Yeah, I tell you, you had you know what? My client there was supposed to go up after you. Didn't do too well, but you had a good set there, buckaroo. I have to be honest, one man to another. Put it there, Mr. Verzi. Go fuck yourself. You just ruined his fucking money. You took food off his table because they underestimated your fucking shitty face. They saw your look and they were like, there's no way this guy's going to do anything. And you go up and annihilate with your 5 o'clock shadow and your fucking kid stories. And you fucked it up. So yeah, dude, there you go. Walk out of the room and go, what's up? That's it. Keep it moving, baby.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, later on you might be like, yeah, dude, I fucking was so mad at you that night, you fucking killed me. Yeah. And you laugh about, who gives a fuck?
Right.
That guy might not be, they might not even be in the business in fucking 4 months.
I know.
He might be selling insurance.
I hope he is.
He might be making donuts, cronuts.
I hope it with any fucking luck.
But look it, man, you don't know. I mean, you can't get mad at these people. Dude, I've had people fucking, yeah, man, it's the business.
Yeah.
It's just the fucking business. And I can't, you in life, like, look, all that stuff that happened with my family. You know, you talked about your family. We had similar shit happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been 2 months, and I finally talked to my mom. I talked to my little sister. And, you know, I talked to her husband, too, you know.
Oh, you did.
And it wound up being that they just hated me. I did something, or I just made him feel. It was this years of resentment of like not talking to me when he did something, and I confronted him on it years ago. It was nothing to me. It was like nothing.
Yeah.
And that really fucked with him. And then once you highlight something like that, once you taste something funny in something, now it's like the whole dish is. I don't know. There's something. Yeah. No, even if there's nothing wrong with the rest of the meal, you're like, fuck this.
That one bite ruined it. Yeah,
it's like fucking, so that's what happened over years. And it was pent up and pent up and pent up. And I never knew it. And all he had to do was come to me and go, hey, listen, this really bothered me. And we would have had this conversation because, you know, I didn't mean that. What the fuck, bro? You know, and we would have probably grown from it. You know what I mean? But instead, we had this fucking blowout, this massive fuck you.
Yeah.
And it changed the family. Is it going to change the family forever? I don't know. I thought it was. It might not. We might probably get over it or whatever. But my little sister and, you know, all this stupid shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And...
Hopefully you get stronger from it.
Hopefully you get stronger from it.
That's, you know, that's what response... That's the best case scenario.
Yes.
What's the alternative? The alternative is to not talk, and you know that's
yeah. Look at man. It is what life fucking blows, man. It blows for. It's just so hard for everybody. But it depends what you latch onto and take with you every day. What are you walking around with? Are you walking around with resentment? Are you walking around with hatred in your heart? Are you walking around with chips on your shoulders? Are you walking around with happiness in your soul? Are you walking around with your kid's smile or your girlfriend's fucking, you know, goofy joke or your wife's fucking love or, you know, your family's, you know, the good times? Are you walking around with positive thoughts in your head about your career and where you're going to go and what you can do? Are you walking around with, you know, negative things about people that have fucked you or done you wrong? Are you walking around with the people that have done right by you and thinking about that and the future and the house you're going to live in and the money you're going to have and the shows you're going to do? And You know, are you thinking about where you should be and where you could have been? Or are you thinking about where the fuck you're going to be? And you know it in your heart. Well, and that's the difference between being happy and being healthy. And everybody changes. You got to allow people to become better. Mm-hmm. Because if not, you know, even me, you know, I change. I'm not the same guy I was 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A week ago.
Yeah, it's like every day we evolve. And I remember Big J was on here with me the last time Big J and I were on the show, and he said something, and he told me this too outside of Montreal, and he was smoking outside of was a Club Soda, and he goes, we forget where we're at. Like, I'm happy. Like, you got to be appreciative of where you're at now. Like, I look at where I'm at now. I'm not at some great place, but dude, what I've worked to get is amazing, and yeah. I'm happy with it.
I wouldn't be happy if I was where Jay is, but yeah, I mean, if I was that fat and my career was just tanking, all I had was storytelling nights. No, I'm kidding. Storytelling night and cigarettes. Good. No, I'm kidding. No, he's absolutely right. It's you got to be. You know, I went back on tour. You know, me and Dane had a falling out for like a year. And we wound up talking and working it out in some way, you know, and we just talked, you know. It's like I'm having a kid. I don't want black clouds around me.
Yeah.
And we wound up, you know, talking and, you know, it wasn't like, a big revelation or anything. He said what he said. I said what I said. And we kind of moved on. And, you know, I'm sitting here and, you know, and then he called me up. Hey, you want to go on this tour? And I look back and I was like, in my head, I was like, that's what I did before, and I don't want to be. And then I look back and, you know, I've made so many decisions on pride and fucking anger or resent. And it's like, you know what? I don't have any shows that week.
All right.
I don't have anything that week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just go. I'll go and do some shows. And I opened up and instead of a negative, like, you know, I have to go out at the beginning when people are still sitting. There's not even like an opener. There's not even an MC on these shows. I was like, this is a challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm usually the headliner. I'm going to go out at the beginning and get these people. I'm going to fucking make these people fucking, I'm going to challenge myself. Mm-hmm. It's not a neg. I'm going to go out and 3,000 people are going to shut the fuck up and listen to my jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was funny in Milwaukee. I got a fucking standing ovation.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then, you know, and then the next night I kind of I killed it, but I didn't kill it. So it was like this learning, like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, yeah, you figured it out.
And it kind of got to me at the end. It you know, your ego, like, fuck. But then, you know, and I kind of lashed out at my wife, like, you know, you don't fucking get it. One of those fucking arguments. You don't understand. I can do what you do. You can't do what I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I called her back. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I fucked up. I was just feeling like shit. And I'm really happy. I'm fucking happy.
Yeah.
I know where the fuck I'm going.
Isn't it?
I know what's inside of me.
Yeah.
You might not.
Isn't it uncomfortable to be fucking happy? That's the thing. We're so used to, but we can't fucking sit there.
Right.
You give a comedian a perfect situation scenario, they're going to find a fucking way. The head's going to explode.
Yeah, look, everybody has problems. I mean, you know, Louis's doing great, but he's probably worried about winning a fucking Emmy next year. You know what I mean?
Everybody's worried about something.
Yeah, Burr's worried about filling a, you know, can I do an arena? Or can I, am I going to do what the fuck? You know what I mean? Everybody's, we all have our own fucking problems. But in reality is, if I look around at my friends, you know, we're all doing good. And the thing that I like about it too is that we help each other out. The guys that I know help each other. It's not a selfish, you know. In reality, the comedy community, I think, where we help each other. I think so.
It's very nice, but I agree with that.
I think that we have each other's backs because we're out there solo. We, you know, Jesus Christ, we have no insurance. We have no...
The outpouring of comedians that are supportive is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a couple bad apples. There's always a bad fucking asshole here.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, just to get back to this, you know, going out to the suburbs... You know, I look at a guy like Zach Galifianakis who moved in the middle of fucking wherever, and then he became famous.
Yeah,
he literally was popped as this huge college star, Dane Cook came along and took all that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote all this shit about Dane and Dane should die because Dane was the number one box seller and this and that.
Oh, I didn't know that Dane had a problem.
Well, not a problem. He was just like...
So you're talking shit.
Yeah, he was talking shit about Dane because he was corporate and made movies and romantic rom-coms and, you know, cut too late. This cocksucker's on his third hangover.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, none of it matters.
I truly believe, Bobby, going back to what we were saying, I believe this wholeheartedly, 100%. I think it comes down to the person. Okay. Yeah. Ray Romano was a salesman with two boys living in Queens, not making that much money. And before he quit the second time, he got the sitcom. Yeah. You know, it's like he did it. There's people.
Billy
like,
Gardell, same shit.
Billy Gardell. That's it. Yeah. I've talked to him about that.
Going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's right. He was going to go do radio. And then, you know, it's like I just think that the hungry guys and you just work and you just have a good time and you appreciate where you're at and you make these fucking money. Animals laugh and that's it.
I'm just glad I wasn't the guy that popped off when I was 25 and then everything's gone. I'm glad I didn't succeed. I'm glad I didn't become famous when I had hair and abs. I'd be where is he now? Fat bald fuck with you know what I mean? With a good looking kid who lives in Westchester. You know what I mean? At least I get to be fucking whatever happens, I get to be me.
Yeah.
I got my dues.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So it is, you know, it is a fucking, you know, and I'm going to be up there, buddy. We're going to be up in Westchester. We're going to be Westchester pals together, you cocksucker.
Westchester.
Unless I'm out there in Jersey with Ben Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Is that where he lives? He lives out in Jersey? Oh, you're thinking of Jersey, huh?
Well, look, we got to move somewhere. I'm not paying fucking $15,000 in taxes every year. It's not fucking happening.
Right.
If I'm going to move out there, I'm going to get a nice, I'm going to do what you did, except with a home. You moved into a town home for your first home was a town home.
It was a condo,
home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get a house, but I'm going to get a, you know, two bedroom with a furnished basement or something like that. And
yeah.
Make it a basement. And I'm going to get a small house or with a little tiny piece of land. I don't need a fucking lot. And I'm going to lower my bills and get a couple cars and some Hondas and do that bullshit and go to the grocery store and. I can't wait to have fucking food in the house all the time, motherfucker. We don't have food in we order out every day.
Yeah.
We are typical New Yorker rats.
These fucking people out here, okay, let me tell you something. These fucking people out here are really in a box.
Yeah.
You're in a fucking box, man. And it's like, and you can't get out, and you just get so wrapped up in the hustle and bustle, and you just fucking look around your woods, watch a kid run in the back. Yeah, you
I mean, look, I love that, but I do love New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love being here. I love, you know, New York City is my home.
Oh, New York City is the fucking greatest.
I'm still in awe. When I look at buildings, I was walking around Wall Street, and I was in shade, and I'm like, I'm in shade because the buildings are so, these are my redwood trees, man.
Yeah, oh.
This is crazy.
I love nothing more than driving in and seeing that skyline.
Yeah.
You see that skyline, and you're performing, and then I get the best of both worlds. It's a great city, but trust me, when you go, and you up there, and you're walking around a fucking A&P, I'm telling you, no, something that simple. Something that simple. You're walking around a fucking A&P, and you're just looking at the fucking fruit, and you're going, I can't fucking believe.
Well, I'm going to be doing it, brother. So we're going to have another show once I'm up there. We're going to do another goddamn show.
Yeah.
I'm going to come on the Verzi effect.
Yeah.
I'm going to come over to your goddamn house and we're going to do your Verzi effect and I'm going to let you know if you fucking fucked me.
You fucking cocksucker. I got a fucking tree fell on my house.
That was funny, though.
My hot water heater broke, you fuck.
That was funny when you were in the club. You were in the club the other night when I was performing, and I did the joke about how I'm one of those guys delusional about I lie about my commute. And I go, listen, you know, I'm like one of those GPS. And afterwards, I get off and you go, you motherfucker, I told you it was an hour or something.
Because you lied. You are lying about your commute.
Well, listen, it's like 50 with no traffic.
Listen to me, Verzi, you're lying.
You told me it's 120. You and Chris, my manager, said it's 120.
I never said 120. I'm going to do it right now.
No, it's
before we end the show, I'm going to fucking do it right now.
All right.
I'm going to fucking type in. I'm going to type in right now.
Do it to Midtown. Do it to Midtown.
I'm going to do it to right here.
Oh, it's going to say like 112.
Well, this is where I work. This is where I'm going.
All right.
This is my life. So this is where I'm fucking going. What's your town? North what?
It's Salem.
All right. Okay, here we go. Ready? We're going to fucking see if you are a lying fucking cocksucker. You ready? Don't say nothing. I have facts coming.
Okay.
We got facts coming.
Okay. Well,
no, it's facts.
It's you know, it's actual. There's some shades of gray, but.
How's the shades of gray with fucking a calculation?
No,
of
but
miles?
They don't take things in certain.
It's an hour and 21 minutes.
It's not. I mean, I promise you, it's not.
It says, I'm not lying to you. The other one is an hour and 23. I got two options here. I got an hour and 21 and an hour and 23. Okay, with no traffic. Okay?
58 to 104, 105.
Okay.
58 to 105.
Okay.
Okay, to my door. Now,
This is saying six. This is saying 116. Right? 116.
Yeah, but that's going, you also got to understand, that's going to speed limit. That's going 65.
I do that. What are you talking about? 65 is very fast. I'm not doing fucking 85 through Turkey and Deerville where you live.
No, no. That's funny. I had fucking three deer in my fucking driveway when I came home the other night.
Right?
Yeah, I do the under over on deer when I go up there.
Yeah, you got to fucking, yeah.
I've done it under the net, but I get it.
All right, cut that in half. Hour and 10. I'll give you 10 minutes.
Out of 10 times, yeah. Out of 10 times, three of them I'll do under 60.
Okay.
I'll do like 58 minutes.
Okay.
Three times.
Yeah.
The other times anywhere from like 102 to like 105.
To where?
From. See, I don't come. That's the thing, though. I don't come downtown
to where?
A lot.
To where?
I would say like Lower East Side.
Like where? The
Midtown,
Stand.
Like the Stand. Really quick, under an hour always to Stand Up New York.
Well, Stand Up New York is 78th,
Upper West Side, okay. 78th and Broadway off the thing. Okay. I usually could do that in under an hour.
All right.
So to here would probably be over it, but you know, I mean.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, what are you gonna do?
Well, here's the deal. We're gonna find out. Because I have this internal compass, I believe people have in them, that you can literally think about facing, like an area, like, you know, yeah. Jersey or downtown or uptown, Westchester, and you can feel that this feels good.
I
feel good thinking about living up in that area. I feel there's something in me that like feels happy. Yeah. And then when I think about like living over in Jersey, I'm like, ugh, this dread. There's, you know what I mean? Certain parts.
Well, I mean,
There's certain parts of Jersey that I feel like, oh, I could live there. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
you're talking to somebody. I mean, I'm real biased. I mean, that's one big ongoing joke Burr always has with me because he always shits on me about that. You know, I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of Jersey. I don't like Jersey.
I like Jersey. You know, I think there's some good places in Jersey.
No, there are. I mean,
I'm not going to try. A lot of people listen to the show are in Jersey.
No. Listen, I just, you know, I always get into traffic. It smells like shit, and I hate the landscape. I'm be honest with you. Okay. I mean, listen.
First of all, it smells like shit on 95 going by the factories, Jersey. All right. I mean, it doesn't smell like shit in Montclair and right. Morristown right. and upper Jersey.
Hey, I got a ton of family in Jersey. My mother-in-law's in Jersey. I always get shit for it. But no, I mean, look, North Bergen County is beautiful.
Yeah. Like I want to. Well, we're going to find out because I'm looking up there. I'm going to be living up there for a couple months. I have this house that I'm renting. So I'm
going
to be living up there.
When
for
you
a
going
couple
up
months.
There?
3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I got to get a moving company. Do you have a good one?
You know, talk to my wife here.
I need a fucking real estate. I need a real estate agent. I need a mortgage broker.
Oh, I got the real estate agent and the mortgage guy. I don't. You know, I'm trying to think if we went to the same fucking guy, Wells Fargo, maybe.
I need a mortgage broker. I need a fucking real estate agent up for Westchester, and I need a moving company. So, if you know any of those.
Yeah, well, my wife has, like, fucking organized shit, like, ranked. So, yeah, my wife's ridiculous. But I definitely have a moving guy for you.
All right, well, dude, thanks for coming into the show.
Oh, yeah, man, always a pleasure. I had a great time.
This was a great episode. I really had fun. And, you know, you're one of my new favorite guys.
I appreciate it, man.
I'm glad that, and we'll do this again when I'm up there in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to let you know if I hate it.
Nah, don't. Just go with it. You'll love it.
Well, I'm going to let you know. I'm not going to go. Fucking Deerville. But I will definitely let you know. And who knows? Maybe we'll be neighbors up there.
Oh, it'll be better than
fucked
up.
Burr will come in. Dad, with Dad, I'm coming up, Dad.
I'll tell you, though, man. Deers are better than fuck. Like I told you, deers are better than fucking dudes rapping on the corner. I'm telling you that.
That's one way to say it. Jesus Christ.
No, seriously, man. When I lived down here, dudes were like rapping and beatboxing. Dude, it was cool for like for a little while, and then afterwards, I'm like, I don't need to fucking. You know?
I had a dude in front of my. This morning, yesterday afternoon, we're taking a nap, and there's a guy freestyle rapping. Not a black guy either, white kid, freestyle rapping in front of my apartment.
Oh yeah, no, it has nothing to do with race. They all fucking do it down here.
Let's not get carried away. It had something to do with race. Okay, stop it. Stop just bullshit. Okay, you're a fucking Sicilian that lives in Westchester. Go fuck yourself if you believe anybody believes that. But this morning, literally Mexican music, that fucking ding dong bong ding ding bong bong playing. There's a guy, a little fucking kid. Second time I've told him. You know, I have to go out. My family's sleeping in front of this window. You're sitting in your car to wait for a parking spot. You need to turn your music down. He's like, okay. Why the fuck would you do it twice? I've already come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to have to fight this fucking kid next time.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Because he won't shut his fucking music off. Yeah. Blaring through the fucking window.
Yeah.
But
people want to hear that shit too, you know?
Well, I mean, Mexican people do.
Yeah. But we're not in Mexico.
Well, we kind of are.
Yeah,
fucking Hell's Kitchen.
Somewhat,
all right.
Yeah.
Verzi, what do you got, buddy? Tell the fans where they can see you, where they can check you out.
Oh, if anybody, if you got any fans that in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, I'm going to be headlining the Carolina Comedy Club on October 22nd to the 26th. So you could check me out there. Yeah. I will also be opening up for Bill Burr November 7th. At Constitution Hall, which I'm excited about because that's where Murphy did Delirious. Then I'm going to be doing on the November 8th, I'll be opening for him twice at the Beacon Theater, and on the 9th at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia. But yeah, come down, check me out. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Verzi. That's V-I-R-Z-I. And you could check out my new website, paulverzi.com, which has all upcoming dates when I'm going to be local in this city, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. And check out his podcast, The Verzi Effect.
Yes, please.
Make sure you check that out. You guys, thanks for supporting the show. I hope you guys like these one-on-ones Thursday editions. I've been getting the great emails from you guys. I really love the positive emails you guys have been sending. I know that's not cool and corny to like positive emails, you know, but unbelievable, fucking great. Thank you so much. If you want to send an email our way, ykwd@riotcast.com. If I haven't responded to your email, that doesn't mean I didn't get it. I probably got it, but I'm a little fucking nuts right now. So I will be responding to emails. And if I hadn't, it maybe slipped through the crack. Please send. I read them all. But, send it again if you want a response. Please tell me you want a response. If you're just telling me how you feel about the show, I really appreciate it. But I am a flake with that. I do admit it. You guys are awesome. Thanks for listening to the show. Make sure you support all the other shows on Riotcast Network. We got Nick DiPaolo coming to the fucking Riotcast Network. Nick DiPaolo just joined the Riot. So make sure you join the Riot. We have our own Riotcast Network page on iTunes. Subscribe. Here's what you do. Subscribe to every show and leave a 5-star review. I don't give a fuck if you don't like it. Just leave a 5-star review. Keep us in the top 100, top 10, top 20. Even I would love to be in the top 5, even though that's never happened. But you guys are great. Make sure you support all the shows, support our sponsors, and spread the fucking word about the YKWD podcast. Take it easy. You know what, dude?